Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I've got a lot I can talk about this morning. I've got a lot I want to talk about this morning, but what do you want to talk about? Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. We've got the phone lines open for you right now, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. And hey, in just a few minutes here, we'll have our first break. Good opportunity for you to call in right then and jump into your phone calls right after the break. But man, there's a couple of things I want to talk about, a couple of good news stories I want to talk about this morning. First, there was this one that caught my eye earlier, a report by Seaborn Larson with the Helena IR. I shared this via X about 3 hours ago. Great news. You got to put these criminals somewhere. Either build more space in Montana or send them elsewhere. Here's the headline. Pulled it up from the BillingsGazette.com. Montana quietly doubles inmate count in private Arizona prison. This is, of course, very good news if you ask me and if you talk with a lot of folks across Montana. CoreCivic, that's the company that operates the very well-run prison south of Shelby, Montana, and they do a great job running that prison south of Shelby. We know we need more prison bed space here in Montana. We know we need more jail space across Montana, the various county detention facilities as well. But if we don't have space to put the criminals in here in Montana, well, find the space elsewhere. What we don't have the space for is putting these criminals back out on the streets. And unfortunately, that we've seen that happen all too often over the past, 16 years or so. Thankfully, that's starting to change. You know, Governor Greg Gianforte and mostly Republicans in the state legislature, they worked on this deal saying, okay, hey, if we don't have the bed space here in our Montana prison system, well, we got to put these criminals behind bars somewhere, because if we don't put these criminals behind bars, well, what's going to happen? They're going to reoffend, meaning they're going to rape somebody else. They're going to murder somebody else. They're going to steal from somebody else. They're going to abuse another child, whatever the crime might be. And so get these criminals behind bars. Obviously, we'd rather have them, you know, behind bars here in Montana in one of our own facilities. But if that is not available, get them behind bars somewhere. And so, I was glad to see that news that the Montana Department of Corrections under Governor Gianforte and the corrections director are continuing to look for ways to put criminals behind bars. That's good news if you ask me. Well, if you agree, if you disagree, you can call in and tell me otherwise. 294-0970. The other good news story is what President Trump says he is going to do to take care of our military service members and to get our U.S. military back on track, away from all this woke nonsense. What he had to say in North Carolina on the campaign trail yesterday, that and more right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Our warriors should be focused on defeating America's enemies, not figuring out their genders. That's part of what President Trump had to say yesterday. I believe it was out in North Carolina. Yeah, Asheboro, North Carolina. I'll have just a short segment from his remarks here in a few minutes. Clay Travis added this via X. Trump says he will rehire every service member who was fired for refusing the COVID shot, apologize to them, and give them full back pay. Clay Travis added this, love it. Absolutely love it. Totally right move. And I concur. This has been one of the greatest travesties of these last 3 years of the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, John Tester regime, was the way that they treated our U.S. military men and women who deployed time and time again, kicking many of them to the curb after deployment, after deployment, after deployment. And it was just so outrageous the way they were treated. I remember talking with some, you know, some of our, you know, long-serving military personnel on this very show. So that's great news. But according to the Daily Wire, Trump also promising to remove these senior military commanders who have pushed these, quote, insulting woke initiatives. So a lot of good stuff here to talk about, but let's see what you want to talk about. Renee in Belgrade, first up. Renee, good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Aaron. It was so great to see you at the Trump rally.
That was fun, wasn't it?
It sure was. Am I echoing to you, or do we have a good connection?
You sound good to me. Let me see why you might be echoing. Did that fix it, or are you still echoing a little bit? Could be your radio in the background, too.
No, I turned you off.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Yeah, try to do your best with the echo. Apologize.
Okay. So I just wanted to reach out to all of your voters, all of your listeners. An experience that I had working at the Trump rally and then also in our Republican booth that we had at the Manhattan Potato Festival and also the Big Sky fair that we had a couple months ago. We sold all merchandise completely out at the Big Sky Fair. The best thing was that the younger generation were coming up, especially strong men, young men, and their families and their girlfriends, and they bought a lot of merchandise. And so I started to ask people, are you registered to vote? And most of them said no. So I had a clipboard, we printed registration applications, and we got over 80 people registered to vote.
That's great. Yeah, that's the key, because, you know, especially in, you know, working class, blue collar environments, like, for example, I've been going to these fusion fights and I've asked the crowd, hey, are you cheering for the blue corner or are you cheering for the red corner? And overwhelmingly, they're cheering for Trump and they're cheering for the red corner. But I wonder how many of those people are actually registered to vote. How many people are actually going to show up to vote? Because that's where it really matters. Because we know that working men and women like Trump. They like his policies. They know how much, you know, their pocketbook is hurting right now. But if you don't actually finish the job and show up and vote, to quote Hillary Clinton, what difference does it make?
Okay, so here's what I'm offering everybody who's listening in Montana. We printed thousands of voter registration applications, highlighted what to fill out. Honestly, it takes less than 1 minute to fill it out. And on the back are the addresses of every county in Montana to send it back to. So I have a designated landline that's private, and if your callers, and we would love to promote this for another 2 months. if they want to leave a message with their address and how many they need, I will send it out immediately to them. So here are the people that I noticed who are not registered.
Okay.
Anybody who has moved, right, across town to a different county, they have to fill out a new registration application. If they got married, changed their name, also they need to do one. A lot of people want their absentee ballot, which is simply it gets mailed to your home.
So probably the easiest thing, because I'm trying to think of our listeners across the state, probably the easiest thing is, hey, go to your local elections office, give them a call, make sure you're registered, get it done. If you want to get on the absentee list, do that, because I know that they're encouraging people, hey, vote early. If you've already got your mind made up, cast your vote as soon as you can, because then you can go help other people get out to vote. All right, Renee, thanks for the call. We're getting short on time here. Let me go to Jody Etchart in Billings. Jody, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron. Just wanted to let the voters in Billings, specifically House District 51 know that we're having an ice cream social giveaway meet and greet tomorrow and Saturday in two locations each day. Friday, tomorrow from noon to 1, it's right near Boulder Elementary. And from 2 to 3, it's near Pauley Elementary on Pauley and Nina Claire. And then Saturday, 12 to 1, near Burlington School. And 2 to 3 on Lewis Avenue and Lillis Park. We're giving away Wilcoxon's Huckleberry ice cream sandwiches and a number of other products from Wilcoxon's ice cream. And we'd love to see the voters there to get some ice cream and meet you. People aren't answering the doors. And so it's difficult to meet people on the door. So I want voters to have an incentive to come out and meet me. Let's talk about the tough issues. Let's talk about what I need to do to earn your vote and what I have done in the past in the legislature. So thank you for letting me say that, Aaron.
Yeah, thanks for calling it. Do you have a Facebook page or something in case people didn't write down all those details?
I do. It's Jody Etchart, E-T-C-H-A-R-T, or the other thing is Jody, J-O-D-E-E-F-O-R-M-T, jody4mt.com.
All right.
You can also email me that Gmail.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot. Quick break. Back up.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
One follow-up question I had for Renee in Belgrade. She was talking about the potato festival and how they had, you know, swag out there. I'm assuming it was like pro-Trump hats, T-shirts, whatever. Renee, if you can, message us on the Montana Talks app. I'm wondering, what was the most popular items? I mean, I know you said you sold out of everything. Whatever you had, you sold out of. But what were the most popular items? Was it a certain T-shirt or a certain hat, a certain message? Was there something the kids liked more than what, say, the older folks liked? It'd just be interesting to see what was the most popular swag out there. But by the way, speaking of that potato festival, she talked about the potato festival and, you know, how many people were out there. I got a note from the folks that put on the firefighters' breakfast in Manhattan. You know, just like we have the phone lines open and anybody can call in all across Montana. We got a couple of phone calls from a couple of the volunteer firefighters in Manhattan promoting their firefighters' breakfast fundraiser that took place during that potato festival. They sent me a follow-up email. Thanks for letting us promote the Manhattan firefighters' breakfast. We served 1,295 people. That is very cool. Nearly 1,300 people served breakfast, but then that allows these volunteer firefighters to be able to serve so many more with what they do and with what all our volunteer firefighters do out there. So that was great to hear. All right, President Trump, I mentioned he had a rally in Asheboro, North Carolina yesterday. As Clay Travis pointed out, Trump says he will rehire every service member who was fired for refusing the COVID shot. But on top of that, the federal government owes them an apology. And he's going to give them full back pay. Here's more of what President Trump had to say in North Carolina yesterday on the trail.
But under Comrade Kamala, our military has been abused for radical social experiments. On day one, I will get critical race theory and transgender insanity the hell out of our U.S. armed forces. We're taking it out. Our warriors should be focused on defeating America's enemies, not figuring out their genders. By that time, hopefully, they know their gender. Marxist ideologies have no place in combat. Think of it. They go in and they decide, oh, is he going to change my gender? No. We want them to know their gender when they go in. You have no idea the disruption that has caused, and the fake news refuses to report it. You know, when I did a ban, I went to a lot of good generals. I said, I'm not going to tell you names. Just tell me, is it the right thing or the wrong thing? The wrong thing, sir. It's the wrong thing. And I had unanimous support. And then we did it. I didn't do it. Other people did it. They reversed me as soon as they got in, like almost the first day. I didn't do it. But they allowed things to happen to our military that just not right. If you want to have a sex change or a social justice seminar, then you can do it somewhere else, but you're not going to do it in the Army, Navy, Coast Guard, Air Force, Space Force, or the United States Marines. Sorry. You're not going to do it there. The military brass that led these absurd and insulting initiatives will likewise be removed, and they will no longer be in command. They're going to be gone, gone so fast.
Yeah, great news on all fronts there, because we know what's happening right now. I mean, what's happening right now is we are on the brink of World War III. I mean, how many of you are concerned what might happen to your sons or daughters, frankly, if that happens? You know, congressional Democrats have been voting to force women, to force young ladies into the draft as well. We are on the brink of World War III because of these failed policies of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and John Tester. And we were on the brink of World War III. And they're talking about drafting your daughters into their potential World War III. That's how serious things are getting right now. And meanwhile, how crazy was it last night, for those of you that watched any of the coverage or watched any of the Democrat National Convention in Chicago? Here they are propping up Mr. Stolen Valor himself, Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota. They're propping this guy up, who lied about his service, who lied about serving in combat. And yet they attack J.D. Vance, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, who grew up in poverty in the Appalachian Hill Country. His family are self-described hillbillies. This guy grew up in poverty, and yet Mr. Stolen Valor, Tim Walz, went on the attack against J.D. Vance last night.
I had 24 kids in my high school class, and none of them went to Yale.
Oh, 24 kids in his high school class, and none of them went to Yale. So what they're saying is, if you are a young man or woman in poverty right now, and you work hard, and you succeed, and you serve your country in the United States Marine Corps like J.D. Vance did, and you went to Iraq like J.D. Vance did, and Tim Walz did not. He dodged the deployment, and then he lied about serving in that very deployment. They attack you. And then he gets admitted into Yale University, an American success story that should be and is and has been celebrated. In fact, they even made a movie about his story that you can watch on Netflix right now, Hillbilly Elegy. But they attack success, which is a common threat. I mean, that's what we see taking place in the U.S. Senate race here in Montana. They attack success. They attack those who actually served in combat. They despise the fact that Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy has been so successful, that he was able to give all these good jobs to his fellow veterans because of the successful businesses he started here in Montana. Congressman Mike Waltz, the Republican congressman out of Texas, fired back at Tim Walz for lying about his service. Here's what he had to say to CNN.
And I'm not attacking his service. I served in the National Guard for 22 out of my 27 years. And I know plenty of guardsmen and reservists who served. Maybe they went to combat. Maybe they didn't. They retired at a certain rank. Good on them. And I celebrate them. He said he's proud of that service. If he's so damn proud about it, why does he have to continue to embellish it and to lie about it?
Exactly. Evan in Belt sent me a great message earlier this morning, one of our Air Force veterans that listens to this show here. He had this to say about Tim Walz. He says, Tim Walz, you POS. There were six of us in my high school graduation class. Three of us went into the armed forces, and none of us stole any valor. That was what Evan and Belt had to say here. Let me see if I can find it. The Trump-Vance campaign actually put together an ad firing back at Walz and his wacky policies that have destroyed Minneapolis and that have destroyed Minnesota. And they're also calling him out for all of his woke policies. and his stolen valor as well. I think I queued it up for you. Here you go.
When his country and his state called out for leadership, Tim Walz abandoned them. In early 2005, his National Guard unit was ordered to deploy to Iraq. He said he'd go, but instead, he retired, leaving his soldiers without their senior non-commissioned officer.
He abandoned us. As soon as the shots were fired in Iraq, he turned and ran the other way.
Governor Walz said, disappeared. Retired out and left basically his troops high and dry.
The New York Times exposed Walz misrepresented his military record. In May 2020, as Black Lives Matter rioters burned down a police station, Governor Tim Walz again abandoned the people who counted on his leadership. Instead of immediately sending in the National Guard and coordinating the police, he downplayed the situation and let the city burn. Twice, Tim Walz was called to leave. Twice, he ran away.
All right, and you can find that via X.com, the Trump War Room. I shared it at X.com/AaronFlint as well. Got a couple of messages that came in on the Montana Talks app. I'll get to those in a second, but first, Tom in Columbia Falls on the phone lines. Tom, thanks for your call.
Good morning. I was just listening to you talk about Walz and his comments about J.D. Vance, and I thought to myself, not only is it weird that he mentions that he went to a prestigious college, but then he brings up the fact that he was put in charge of 24 students, and his failure in leadership led to none of them moving on. So it kind of reminds me, it ties into his service where, yeah, he was willing to take a promotion and lead people until the point comes when they have to fly, and none of them flew with him. So I just wanted to point that out, that I don't know who lets him get away with these speeches, but, boy, it sounds pretty dumb when it's a failure on him that these students.
He sure talks tough, though, doesn't he? Doesn't he sure pretend to be a tough guy?
I don't think he talks tough. I think he just talks out of his rear. So that's all.
Oh, there's a line of the day right there. Yeah. And why is the media so fascinated with 21st century masculinity all of a sudden? This guy dodged a deployment. He totally left his men behind. And he lies about his service. He tries to take our guns away by lying about serving in combat. And now all of a sudden the media loves masculinity again as they try to claim that this guy is like the representation of 21st century masculinity. It's just weird all around.
Well, much like them trying to define what a woman is that they cannot do, they cannot also identify masculinity. They're just confused.
Oh, that's perfect, yeah. The same people that can't tell you what a woman is can't tell you what a man is either. Well
Have
said.
Have a great day, Aaron.
Hey, you too, Tom. Thanks for the phone call. That made my day right there. All right. Oh, Perry the Poet. He's on the phone lines right after this. Perry in Columbus. Plus, we've got some phone lines open for you right now. We've got a break, so it's a great time for you to call in. 406-294-0970.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
The agriculture sectors in both Canada and the United States will be grappling with significant disruptions following a rail shutdown that occurred in the early morning hours of this Thursday, August 22nd, in Canada. The shutdown, stemming from a critical labor dispute between major rail companies and unions, has far-reaching impacts for both the U.S. and Canadian economies. A coalition of agriculture groups sent a letter to both President Joe Biden and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on the issue. One of the groups signing on to the letter included the American Farm Bureau Federation. Farm Bureau economist Danny Munch expands on U.S. exports to Canada last year.
We exported $28.2 billion of ag products into Canada, and that made Canada number three. In the same year, we imported $40 billion of Canadian agriculture products into the United States and import quite a bit of inputs such as fertilizer, and that makes them second, just behind Mexico. By value, most of the Canadian agriculture products do move by truck, but when we talk about cereal grains, corn, barley, oats, things like that, a lot of those products move on rail into Canada.
Despite mounting pressure across North America, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's administration has so far refused to step in. As the rail shutdown continues, groups say it highlights the vulnerability of the interconnected U.S. and Canadian economies to such disruptions. I'm Lane Northland.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, what a yawner if you ask me. Here we go again. Another election, more phony ads, more fake campaign commercials. And of course, if John Tester's running for re-election, he has to pretend to be conservative. He has to pretend to be moderate. And then, of course, Pearl Jam has to do another concert in Missoula, which is really just a fundraiser slash rally for liberal Senator John Tester. Joe Dooling in Helena messaged us earlier. All I can say is the folks that are falling for the Pearl Jam concert in Missoula, thank God this will be the last time. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, after John Tester loses the election this November, Joe, all of a sudden Pearl Jam won't be doing a concert in Missoula 6 years from now, huh? Yeah, it's just so phony. By the way, speaking of the Pearl Jam concert, remember when they had the dead Donald Trump Pearl Jam poster promoting their phony concert 6 years ago? The dead Donald Trump, the White House burning in the poster. Publicly, John Tester and his campaign, they told you, well, we disavow, what this poster, we disavow violence, blah, blah, blah. But then John Tester wrote a book and he told us what he privately thinks. In his book, John Tester wrote that he secretly loved that poster. Now, publicly, he was telling all you rubes out there, oh, well, I disavow, any reference towards violence. But privately, he secretly loved that poster. So this Pearl Jam concert this week is a reminder of just how phony John Tester is. Publicly, oh, I love the Keystone Pipeline. But privately, or heck, not even privately, when it came time to vote for the Keystone Pipeline, when it mattered the most, he voted against the Keystone Pipeline. Again, John Tester will tell you one thing in person and then do the complete opposite back in Washington, D.C. He is a straight-up phony. Chase in Opheim said this. You know what's weird is that this Truth and Justice Fund, that's one of the groups that's behind some of these phony commercials. He says, you know what's weird is that this Truth and Justice Fund is acting like they're from Montana, even though they're from Washington, D.C. It's total BS that they use these actors to mock real Montanans. Chase, thanks for that message. Greatly appreciated. Let's go to Perry the Poet. Perry in Columbus, up next.
Good morning, Aaron. I'm going to tell you privately and publicly what I want to talk about today, and it's bravery. The Tim Sheehy level of courage and love of America that we all need to muster if the goal is to save our constitutional republic from the death of 1,000 cuts being inflicted by the actual domestic terrorists of the radical Democrat left. Commie law and tampon Tim represent the deep state swamp rat one world global elitist dream of the ideal Manchurian candidates. They are cardboard cutouts, sock puppet, useful idiot mockery of what the leaders of a free people should be. Just like the senile sock puppet currently squatting in the White House and his favorite oversized errand boy, flip-flop Tehran Tester. My point? These communists are an existential threat to our we the people control of this nation. Listen, there's no reasonable discussion with these people, and any compromise is only a temporary ruse for them. Look at commie law's past. Lies, subterfuge, backstabbing, and betrayal were all part of her plan for climbing the job ladder in Willie Brown's San Francisco Democrat machine. Communism is like rust. It never sleeps or stops trying to spread until it's taken over everything. There's only one thing they understand and respect. their own tactics being used against them by free people who will never cower, never surrender, and never stop fighting until communism in America has been completely destroyed.
So one quick thing, slight clarification. You referenced the sock puppet in the White House. I believe the socks are off, and I think he's on another vacation in California right now. So just a slight clarification.
He'll be on permanent vacation now, Aaron.
Hey, speaking of commie law, so did you hear about John Tester let it slip? You know, again, publicly, privately thing. Publicly, he will say that he has not made an endorsement in the presidential race, but I don't know if he knew that there were reporters in the room or not, but privately at the Wilma, he was hanging out with these celebrities in Missoula yesterday, and he let it slip that he believes electing Kamala Harris is more important even than his own race. He let that slip at this private deal at the Wilma yesterday, apparently.
Well, you know, there's one thing about lying, and it's a lesson my wife learned a long time ago. If you're going to lie to people, you have to make a careful calendar of every lie you've ever told to anybody and everybody, and all it takes is one slip to reveal you for who you really are.
Well, and there's been several slips here. Open borders, Keystone Pipeline shut down, the High Line is high and dry. Don't worry, John Tester says, oh, no, we'll have the money for you, Highline. We'll give you the water next year. Just give it a year, then we'll give you the water, Highline. Trust me. You know what? You shut down the Keystone Pipeline. Why should we believe that you are ever going to get the water flowing again for the Highline? The Highline is high and dry. Oh, but no, don't worry. Trust John Tester. You'll get water maybe a year from now. While illegal aliens are getting everything thanks to your taxpayer dollars. It's so absolutely crazy. Perry, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Next up, let's go to Thad in Columbus. Thad, great to hear from you.
Hey, that's a pretty tough line to follow there what old Perry did. You know, that was pretty
he's good.
Impressive.
Yeah.
You know, my point is, you know, I hate to say it, but I watched a couple clips last night of the DNC, and, you know, I found it just hysterical that, you know, Cuomo, that was off from CNN, is sitting there, and he's like, you know, the suites that they have at that convention are $500,000 to $1 million to rent. And he goes, these are the people that the Democratic Party wants to raise your taxes on. I mean, how hypocritical is that? But they're going to support the DNC. So they're going to take more money out of those people's pockets, but they're paying them to be there. I mean, and it's exactly the same thing that ties back to Tester is. Tester is going to end up taking more money from Montanans on taxes federally, and he's going to continue to vote for that. And if people don't realize that John Tester is nothing but a sheep in wolf's clothing, you know, it's insane, and it's not going away.
Somebody should do the math. If the Trump tax cuts go away, because they expire what, next year, and so if Kamala and Tester are still in power, they will. I mean, he voted against the Trump tax cuts the last go around. He's going to vote against them again, or just allow it to expire. I would love to see how every single one of us will see our taxes go up as a result of that, and by how much, on top of what we're paying for groceries and gas and everything else right now. I think it would be fascinating to see how much more Montanans will pay if those two stay in power. Thad, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call. Jim in Great Falls next up.
Yeah, I hear a tragedy going on at the Sip and Dip, and they had the water level was dropping fast, and they didn't know what to do to keep the mermaids alive, and it was a year and a half ago when Tester was there, and we really started calling him the flip-flop. Boy, if we just had him there, he could step into the pool and bring that water level up so fast. I mean, that would be instant inflation.
Instant inflation, flotation.
Inflotation.
Well, he could have some, you know, if he's going to drink pink drinks and drive a Prius, why not drive the Prius, get a pink drink down at the Sip and Dip? Why does he have to be at the Bistro Cacao back in Washington, D.C.? Why not drive into the Sip and Dip, right?
Yep. Hey, I watched the DNC, some of it last night, and I think I'm going to vote Democrat. I mean, my goodness, it gets you all fired up. I mean, there might not be any truth to what's going on, but, I mean, Trump better wake up again, or it's going to be a rerun of the last time that all of a sudden we think we're going to have a big win, and it's a nod. It's Kamala in there, and they've got a movement going on. They had Oprah and all the big singers up there. I mean, it was a real show.
They love their celebrities. Yeah, big old party. They're just having a great old time. They are just living it up while people can't afford groceries. I thought that was kind of symbolic, too. Is here they are partying, living high on the hog while the American people suffer. Thanks for the call, Jim.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Ken in Great Falls talking about Tim Walz. Ken, thanks for the phone call. What's your thoughts?
Well, first thing is swift voting. Same thing you guys did, John Kerry, back when he was running, a guy with two bronze stars and a silver star, three purple hearts. But none of that mattered, according to the Republicans and the Swift Boat thing. That was all phony. Now comes Tim Walz. He served this country 24 years in the military, and he did what military men do. They said jump. He said, yes, sir. How high, sir? For 24 years, he did what he was told to do. He even served in the war on terrorism. His unit was sent, I think, Italy to support a group and be guards at a station. I'm sure he had a weapon with ammunition. He was part of the war effort.
Thanks for his service, yeah.
May I speak?
Go for it. I'm talking to you, Ken.
I got a lot of friends here in Great Falls that serve in the Guard and in the Air Force. Great Falls is a military town. And you're saying that anyone that didn't actually serve in fighting but in a support role wasn't in part of the military. He did what he was asked to do.
That's not what anybody is saying at all. Let me replay for you, if you missed it, what Congressman Mike Walz had to say here earlier.
I'm not attacking a service. I served in the National Guard for 22 after out of my 27 years, and I know plenty of guardsmen and reservists who served. Maybe they went to combat, maybe they didn't. They retired at a certain rank. Good on them, and I celebrate them. He said he's proud of that service. If he's so damn proud about it, why does he have to continue to embellish it and to lie about it?
Yeah, why does he have to lie about it? That's the issue here. He's not lying. He said he carried a weapon in war. He made people think that he deployed into a war zone. He was in Italy, Ken.
Part of the war. Was he part of the war when he was in Italy?
No.
Part of the support group?
He was not in war. He was not in combat. And by the way, he left his men behind. You go ask these military service members or those veterans in Great Falls and elsewhere across Montana and say, this guy knew. He knew 6 months in advance, according to the men that served in the same units he served in. He knew 6 months before that deployment that it was coming. And he bailed, and he did not go on to the deployment. And his men went instead. And he has continued to lie about it. And here's the thing. Look, if Tim Walz was just honest and said, hey, look, I did 24 years in the National Guard, and I did a deployment to Italy, and because it sucks. It just sucks being away from your family, no matter where you are, right? Two states away, Italy, wherever you're at. It just sucks being away from your family and your job and everything, but it's also an incredible honor to be with your men. And you'll miss those men later on, too. You remember missing your family, but then when you get home, you remember missing your men and being with them in a great time of need. Anyway, but if he was just honest and said, yeah, look, I didn't like the Iraq war. I didn't want to go to Iraq, so I got out and I ran for Congress instead, I think people would respect that. But instead, he attacks J.D. Vance, who did answer the call to deploy to Iraq, when he himself, Tim Walz, dodged the deployment to Iraq. So for 24 years, he said, oh, yeah, I'll serve. And then when his nation called on him, when his nation, more importantly, when the men on his left and right needed him the most as a senior leader, he bailed on them and he bailed on us. And as far as John Kerry, that fraud who has sold out America for decades, who sold out the Vietnam veterans, he was swift-boated. You're exactly right. But those swift-boat veterans told the truth about John Kerry. That guy is a fraud. He has sold this country out, and he's continuing to do so with this climate alarmist nonsense, and he is backing up the terrorists in Tehran, and he's selling out America to the communist Chinese. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Diane in Troy. Diane, what's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to say I think I found the theme song for the Democrats. It's the old Cher song, Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
I don't know if I'm familiar with that song, but I wouldn't want to offend the gypsies out there. I wouldn't want to offend the gypsies out there, though. They, Eastern Europe.
Cher.
Is that playing in the background?
Yep.
I don't know that one. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think. Yeah, because Cher's been to Montana a few times, hasn't she?
Yeah, and I think she's on their site, so she had to let them use their song.
Oh.
Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
Oh, man. All right. Have you been watching much of the Democrat National Convention coverage at all?
Absolutely not. If it comes on, I either mute it or recall the other channel or turn the TV off. I refuse to watch it because all they do is lie to us.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Walz. I mean, this guy let Minneapolis burn. They call him Tampon Tim because he wants tampons in the bathrooms with fourth grade boys. I mean, it's just crazy. And then they attack people who actually served.
How about military service? I volunteered for 4 years in the Air Force in the Vietnam era. I served in accounting and finance in Hawaii. We paid the guys in Vietnam, and we pulled the records when they died.
Mm, yeah. Well, and that's so, why we think all who served.
You don't have to embellish.
That's right.
Serving is serving, but any M16 training that I did, I was falling here and shooting at a hill.
We're just about, we are out of time though, but Diane, thanks for your service. Thanks for calling in. Sorry we're out of time.